this world of sorrow. I'm on my way to glory land, and I'll not turn back for some tomorrow. My trials here I understand. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about the mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. I'm glad I know the blessed Savior, for through His blood He set me free. The rough the road I shall not waver, for some glad day His face I'll see. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about the mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. He promised when His soul ascended, I'm coming back, the Lord did say. And on His promise you've depended, on wings of love you'll soar away. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about the mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. Oh, I want to know more about my Jesus.
Yes, I do.
I want to know more about my Lord.
Yes, I do.
I want to know more
about that,
about that mansion.
That heavenly
I'm
mansion.
Receive
as
my reward. I want to know more.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I mean to go there.
Can you
someday?
Give me a moment. Give me a moment and let me see if I can solve a problem. I see something blinking that's not supposed to be blinking. And I'm going back through the process. And now maybe that will end. I hope it does. It did. And so maybe I've solved the problem. Let's hope I have. Because I don't like to give up on nothing and nobody. Hey, I'm live. And I'm live on Facebook. And I'm live right here. And so I believe. The problem is solved. Hey, isn't that great? Isn't that great? God's good. I know what I did. I see what I did. And it's something I don't think I've ever done before. But, you know, you're sitting here and you're excited and you're giving it all you got. And that's all I can do. Hey, if I make a mistake, I make a mistake. Now, let's get to the problem. A worldwide upheaval. There is a worldwide upheaval taking place. It's breathtaking. It's really overwhelming. I don't even know how to describe the extent of what is taking place and how dark and vicious it is. I can tell you God knows that we are at the end of time. God knows the upheaval that's taking place all around us is ordered of God, allowed by God, and much of it ordered by God because the time of the end has come. Now, I want to start out by reminding you of this great scripture in the book of James 5:7. It says, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. Notice that word waited. That gripped me today. Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth until he received the early and the latter rain. He waiteth until he receive the early and the latter rain. Now, that's an overwhelming thing to think about, that God is having to wait, that God is literally waiting. Now, something is causing him to wait, and I think I know it's us, the church. God can do nothing until faith calls on him to do it in this world. God does nothing without us. We certainly cannot do anything without him. But even more, God doesn't do anything without us because he waited for the precious fruit of the earth. God wants this fruit of the earth. God wants to gather this fruit. And he's waiting on church people, his saints, to pray and to fast and to seek his face and to cry out to him until God fulfills his promise. Remember when God was going to destroy Israel and Moses wouldn't let him? Moses stood in the way. God told him to move over, get out of his way. Moses said, I will not. If you destroy them, you got to destroy me. Now, I'm not anybody on the level of Moses. I would never claim to be. But I'm telling you, I'm waiting on my face for God to give us this glorious, marvelous end time revival. I can hardly wait for it to start. I am overwhelmed with the excitement of this end-time revival coming and touching our world. I'm overwhelmed with the joy of multitudes being converted and brought to Christ and wonderfully changed. I'm thrilled. Some of them will be my family. Some of them will be my loved ones. Some of them will be kids that's gone to the school, that heard the word, that were loved by myself and by my Juanita, by my teachers, and yet, you know, you're talking about a lot of children since 1974 when we had at the peak 300 children on the campus on Little Rock Road. And they were getting this same word. They were getting the wonderful education. And I see them all over Charlotte. I mean, it's amazing. We just bought a new refrigerator for our kitchen and wound up we were buying it from one of the former students of the school many, many, many years ago. A young man named Todd. You know, I'm just amazed at the good things God has done. But many of them have never come to Christ. They've never turned their life over to the Lord. And I'm praying for them. You know, I get on my knees and get before God. I try to remember every name of these families and crying out for God to say, friend, we need a harvest. Well, that's what the Bible said. God is waiting for the harvest of the earth until he receives. Notice he even designates until he receive the early and the latter rain. the early rain was in 2,000 years ago, the marvelous outpouring of the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts. It went on for many years, and there's been revivals at intervals all during those 2,000 years. There have been some of the greatest men and women who have served God. There have been whole cultures in nations that have served God. There's been multitudes running to the mountains because of serving God and living the old-fashioned life and hated by the liberal church world. Oh, friend, hear me. God is waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. Do you get it? I hope you get it. Put up a song this week, and I love that song. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. I wish I could get my whole radio audience all over the globe singing, we need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. I am crying out for the latter rain. I am crying out for the latter rain. I hope you are with me crying out for the latter rain. Well, we're burdened for the latter rain. I tell you that. We're burdened for the latter rain. We're not going to give up. We're not going to give up. Now, let's talk about this upheaval. You just heard me tell about a man carrying a sign which said, if Jesus returns, kill him again. If Jesus returns, kill him again. Now, that kind of thing causes God's people not to get angry. Don't get angry at that man. That man, he didn't know nothing about what he was doing. I mean, that man was absolutely, he was just being, an idiot? How do you say what he was being? I can just tell you, it was horrible. Well, let me tell you how Isaiah treated it. The book of Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. That the mountains might flow down from thy presence. That the mountains might flow down. Listen to that. As when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make his name known, to make his name known to the adversaries, to make his name known to the adversaries. That the nations may tremble at thy presence. See, Isaiah was praying for what I'm praying for. He was praying for the rain, the Holy Ghost rain. It came at Pentecost. And he cried out. He said, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. See, God can literally come down. He has many times. He has many times come down. Remember when Moses dedicated the temple? The tabernacle there in the wilderness, and the Holy Spirit came down. A great sovereign move. Shekinah glory filled the tabernacle. I mean, they couldn't even stand to minister because of the glory of God. Remember the times that God came down during Moses' travel with the children of Israel, 40 years across the wilderness, came down, the mountain was on fire with his presence. On one occasion, he came down and spoke, and the people cried out, don't let God talk directly to us. Let him talk to you, and you tell us what he said. They could not stand the glory of his voice. Well, God has come down many times. And God's going to come down again. Now, I don't know how many times, more than one, but I'm telling you, the move of God is at the door. Listen to Brother Chambers. I've never prophesied to nothing to you that didn't happen. You know that. I brought you the truth the best I knew it. I've stayed in this Bible absolutely faithful to the Scripture. And I'm telling you, God is about to move in a way that the nations will tremble. God is about to move in a way the heathen world will tremble. Now, many of them will not turn to him. They'll turn from him. They'll turn to the Antichrist. They'll turn to their own desire for pleasure and worldly action and worldly immorality. Oh, yeah, the world. Much of the world is just, they're saturated with their love for the things of sin and wickedness and the dark stuff that comes out of the very realm of the devil and the powers of hell. But there is a great people that will turn to him. Oh, yes, I don't know who and how many. I just know it's multitudes. I just know in the book of Revelation chapter 7, when he saves those who get saved after the rapture, I'm talking about being saved before the rapture, of course, but after the rapture, there'll be another multitude saved. And the Bible speaks of them coming up out of literally caught up to heaven, really. And it's a multitude that no man could number, the Bible says, from all the nations of the earth. Now, what I'm excited about is people getting saved before that rapture. Now, you say that there may not be time. You're exactly right. I know that. The rapture could be any time the Lord decides to send his son. And it's imminent. I'm looking for it any day. But while I'm looking for the rapture, I'm waiting for that marvelous latter rain outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I'm waiting for God's Holy Ghost to move just like he did in Jerusalem when multitudes begin to get saved. And I'm expecting it. I'm not doubting it. I know what the Bible says. And when you take what the Bible said, you never turn from it. You just stand on the book. You understand that? So what I'm waiting for now is for God to rend the heavens and come down. There's got to be a Holy Ghost visitation that shakes the people of this earth. There's got to be such a move of God that it will be matchless. It will be marvelous. It will be supernatural. And conviction will fall in great, great convicting strength. And the world will be convicted of their sins and of righteousness and of judgment to come. It will be an awesome hour. It really will be an awesome hour. Now, I got this thing back on, or if you desire to have a question and to talk with me about this latter rain that's coming and the judgment that we're now living in, the world is trembling. Do you understand how you feel? You go out to shop and you go into a restaurant or you go into a grocery store. They want you to come in one door and go out another. And everybody almost in the place has got a face mask on. And I understand that the governor of North Carolina is anticipating and talking about requiring everybody in North Carolina that goes out of their house to wear a mask. Well, I'm not going to wear one because it is against my conviction. It is thoroughly against what I believe. I am protected by the blood. I'm protected by the healing stripes of the Christ of Calvary. I promise you. And you are too if you trust him, if you believe him, if you love him. So it's coming. Now, again, I want to go to Jeremiah. I want you to see how men of God have acted in the past when there was these great worldwide troubling moments, when the world was trembling, when it looked like everything was falling apart and there was no hope for anybody. And Jeremiah gives this incredible picture. He felt then kind of like I feel now. I mean, I look at it and I deal with it and I pray and I cry out to God. But listen to what he said. Oh, that thou wouldest, oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Now, that's Jeremiah praying, and that's how I've been encouraging everybody that I know to pray. Oh, that my head were waters and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughters of my people. Here this very morning, before 6 and after 6, I was praying and crying out to God. And I know people who pray with me may get tired of me crying out and squalling and tears rolling like a river. But I look at my world and I'm troubled to the core. I'm troubled to the core. Listen to what Jeremiah said. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people, and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. Now, he was looking at his world just like I look at mine, a world full of adulterers. and treacherous men and women. Look at all the things happening. Look at Washington. Look at Raleigh. Look at all the different capitals of our states and the mayor's offices in our cities. Listen to the rhetoric that you're hearing from every direction. Listen at the hatred. Listen at the venom. It's just thick as the clouds over our heads. And you say, my father, what is going on? And they have and they bend their tongues like their bow for lies. They bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth. They're not valiant for the truth. They don't care about the truth. And for the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil. They proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Well, there's no question. This crowd out there doesn't know the Lord. They don't know about his righteousness. They don't know about his holiness. And this fussing and quarreling over what to do about the virus. And one crowd says, you gotta do all these things. Another crowd say, the things that are happening are normal. I heard a mayor say recently, look at the grocery stores. People have not quit going to grocery stores, and there's not been an uptick of nothing that it can be connected to the grocery stores. And yet they're turning them almost into a prison. You know, that you got to go certain ways and do certain. Everything is upheaval. Everything is in a tear down situation. But I'm telling you, God is waiting. Now you can't dwell on that dark things. Jeremiah had to quit and start looking at what God was doing. Even Jeremiah, even Isaiah. That's why Isaiah was the man of hope. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and come down. Well, here sits Brother Chambers, and I'm telling you, I'm crying out for God to rend the heavens, and he's going to. Are you hearing me? God is going to rend the heavens, and God is going to come down. That can no more not happen than the sun can just fall out of the sky before today is over. It has got to happen because God said it. God said it. I love that scripture in James. I love it. He said, be patient therefore unto the coming of the Lord. For the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. Here we are right at the time of the coming of the Lord. Even that man who carried the sign had some evidence of him, I presume. For he said, if he comes, kill him again. Well, I want to tell you something. He can't. When he sees him, he'll know he's beyond being killed. He's the resurrected Lord who liveth forever. He said, because I live, ye shall live also. Hallelujah. He's in a glorified state, been exalted by the Father. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the lily of the valley, the bright morning star, the rose of Sharon, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, which is, which was, and which is to come. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He is indeed the shepherd of all the sheep. He's the door into the sheepfold. He's the resurrection. He's the life. He's the living vine. I mean, you can go on and on. He's all of these things and a thousand things more. Everything you can imagine, he is. And so we are living in this moment, this a threshold moment. You got this horrible situation all around us. I mean, we are living in a world coming apart. At the same time, we're living in a time when we know he's fixing to come down. We know God's fixing to invade this whole situation with his living presence. It's as real as I sit here in front of you. I'm expecting it any moment. I literally am expecting it this weekend. I'm literally expecting it before our camp meeting starts, Sunday week, the 29th. I'm expecting it. I know it's going to happen. See, I'm telling you, I know it's going to happen. I don't think it. Just like I told you, Hillary Clinton was not going to be the president, and I stood on it for 10 years, and it came to pass exactly like the Holy Spirit has said. I'm sitting here telling you, it's dark out there. Hell is breathing down the throats of all of us. We all facing all kinds of things happening around us, and it looks like turmoil and turmoil on top of turmoil. But sit down and sit still and wait and see the salvation of God. Wait right now. Wait and see right here at the middle of this broadcast. You wait and see the salvation of God. Now, to show you the things that I'm talking about, let's go to 2 Timothy, one of the great passages in the Bible. I'm trying to get to Matthew chapter 24 because that's a picture of all of this. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Are we there? Are we there? Perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Without natural affection? Have you ever seen such a world without natural affection? The love for mamas and dads don't hardly make a tick today. I mean, it really is terrible. Here I am, 84 years old, and I see people, I see children, young people, families. I don't have time for the oldies. Everybody will tell you, don't go to the hospital when you're up in the 80s because you're just fodder for death. You're just fodder for death. They'll send you over to the killing institutions, and they've got them out there. Some of you don't believe it, but I know it. I see them. I go there. And I can tell they're just a killing institution. Give them enough morphine for 4 or 5 days and all their abilities shut down and they're gone. It's an easy way to die, they think, because that's the understanding of life. We are living in an hour when it blows my mind what is taking place. I'm like Jeremiah. Oh, sometimes I just want me a place in the wilderness among wayfaring men, hide myself, but I wouldn't be happy there. I'd rather be right here telling you the truth and preaching the word to you. A world upheaval. The Father is waiting. The world is, now you don't forget my title, a world in upheaval, but the Father is waiting. A world in upheaval, but the Father is waiting. A world seeming to be coming apart, but the Father's getting ready. The Father's waiting for the moment, and He comes down, and He will come down. And you got to get that in your heart, in your head. He will come down. Now, here's Paul telling Timothy how he's going to get. He said, without natural affection, false accusers, incontinent, furious, hitters, hitty, high-minded, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hitty, high-minded, despisers of those that are good, lovers of pleasure, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Boy, that's the church world. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen, for of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden and carried away of their sins. Well, I got a call coming in here, I guess. It's been somewhat different today. I don't understand what I've got that is calling, but oh, I see. I got a hey here. I'm on the radio, y'all. You know, people are calling me, and I'm sitting here on the radio, and some of my family is calling me, and they forget I'm on the radio. I guess. You know, I don't know. But listen, I got to stay with this Bible. I want you to understand Paul was telling us what would happen right before the mighty God makes His move. We are seeing what is happening right before God makes His move. We are seeing what's happening right before God makes His move. Do you get that? We are watching what's happening right before God makes His move. And you got to understand, God is going to make His move. You got to understand it. God is going to make His move. And I'm thrilled at it. I'm thrilled at it. I just can't wait. It's just that exciting. It's really just that exciting that the coming of the Lord is at the door. The coming of the Lord is at the door. The great Redeemer, oh, God is coming. He's going to move in His glory and in His power and in His majesty. Hallelujah. What a moment. What a day. What an hour when the Son of Man comes. Oh, are you looking for Him? Now, you see what Paul said. Perilous times shall come. Dangerous times shall come. Men, lovers of their own selves, proud, boastful, boasters, blasphemers, you know, just every kind of wickedness you can imagine is out there. It's in high places, too. I mean, it's in high places. I am amazed at even child molestation. I'm amazed at some of the groups that we've been learning about where men had these parties going on with little girls. And remember the plane that the man owned in an island off the southern coast? He finally died in prison some months ago now. And, of course, his death was very suspicious. Because the Clintons had been involved in his plane rides. And so there's a lot of suspicion connecting that with the Clintons. I mean, you're talking about things that are almost unspeakable. I mean, they're so wicked. Why could they happen in a land like America? Well, because sin just keeps on growing. Killing babies will bring judgment. Killing babies. I'm telling you, if we had to give one adult in this virus for every baby that we've killed in abortion, it would be overwhelming. You knew about our governor, Cooper, here in North Carolina, vetoing a bill that would protect a child that was born in abortion alive and then would not, the bill said he couldn't let that baby just die. They couldn't just kill the baby. They couldn't just eliminate the baby. Because the baby is born accidentally in abortion without being dead when it's born. I mean, evil way is so wicked and so evil. But the governor, he vetoed the bill. He didn't want no abortionists to have to take care of some little baby that accidentally gets born alive. Isn't that amazing? To say the word accidentally born alive, that's what was they were dealing with was these aborted efforts where the baby's accidentally born alive and they just let them die. And the bill said you can't do that. If the baby's born alive, you've got to give the baby medical attention. The governor, Cooper, said no, and he vetoed the bill. Now, you see, when those kind of things are happening in a nation, what can we expect but hell on earth? Answer me. What can we expect but hell on earth? Right here in Mecklenburg County, there is a decision on the part of our city council that a transvestite man can go into a woman's restroom and it's legal for that transvestite man to go into a woman's restroom and vice versa. That transvestite lesbian has the right then to go into the men's bathroom. And that's a law in Mecklenburg County that the mayor and the council of this town passed. And you say, why are we in this pandemic? Why are we enduring hell on earth? Why is this virus tearing our nation apart? Why is this virus having such a terrible effect? Why are we in such an upheaval? And I'll answer it, sin, dark, wicked, blasphemous sin. I mean, when people are that wicked and that godless, you can expect nothing but more and more trouble and more and more trouble and more and more trouble. Now, I'm calling you for repentance. If I have anything on my heart today, it's repentance. And I know I'm really lambasting away at these things that I'm dealing with. And I don't know other way. I think an old prophet of God has to do that. An old prophet of God cannot allow this stuff to go on and not cry aloud. I cry aloud in the altar. If I didn't cry aloud in there in that altar, I wouldn't have no right to sit here and cry aloud. Are you listening to me? I would have no right to scream at you and cry out to you and repent before you if I didn't do it with God. And I'm telling you, I've been doing it with God with all this in my heart because God's going to come down. See, I know if I can just, I don't know how many, there's others doing the same thing, I'm sure. I'm sure God's got some men and women all over this world that are doing the same thing I'm doing. I'm not saying I'm not somebody special. I'm so ordinary. I'm unordinary. I'm telling you, I'm just one of those who believes this book and I'm going to stand on it till I'm gone, till I'm out of here, till God takes me home. Oh, I know. I can tell you of how many times the enemy's tried to stop me, but every time he gets stopped. I've had so many trying to stop me as a pastor, and I'm not stopping. I'm only 84, but I'm really 64. You do know that he renewed my youth last March and April 2019. He renewed it. And I tell anybody, he took 20 years off my life, brought me back from 84 to 64. And so I'm ready to go for some years to come if Jesus tarries. But I hope he don't tarry. I hope we can have a Holy Ghost revival in the heat of it, with thousands being saved every day, that the rapture will take place and we'll be out of here. Those that are ready, we'll be out of here. The bridegroom is coming for the bride. The bridegroom is coming. Listen, I want you to read a scripture in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1 and verse 4. The book, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 4, where Solomon cried out, Draw me, Lord, and I'll run after thee. That's what I've been praying. Draw me, Father, and I'll run after you. I'll cry out to you, and I'll seek you with all my heart. Now, let's go to Matthew 24. We got to deal with that a little bit, because we must know the hour we're living in. We look around us and we see this pandemic. We don't understand. Most people don't, that it's biblical. It's absolutely biblical. The Bible said there would be these all kinds of things happening in our world. Let me read some of them to you. But many will come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. But be not troubled. All these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Men nations shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. Listen to this. There shall be famines and pestilence. What do you think we've been dealing with? A pestilence. A pestilence is an infectious disease. It's an infection that takes hold of multitudes of people. We've been dealing with the exact fulfillment of Matthew 24. Absolutely. There shall be famines, and there have been famines going on same time, many places of the world. This pandemic has caused a lot of famines in some third world countries where they have less resources than Americans have. We're blessed to be Americans. You just don't know how blessed you are to be in America and not in some other place where they have very little medical attention and very little help, even when there is medical attention, and very little care. If you're hungry, you just go hungry. Get out there and find something in the trash dump. I mean, there are many places of the world they're having to go through the trash dumps to eat. Folks, you just don't know how blessed we Americans are. Pestilence in divers places, but these are the beginning of sorrows. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and people are dying all over the world for the faith. We Americans are blessed, but as I look around me, I don't doubt that if Jesus tarries, that people in America will be killed for their faith. There's no question about it. That man who said, if Jesus returns, kill him again. Well, he's got to believe in murder. So if he'd kill Jesus, would he kill me and you? Oh, yes. I read the other day a big article that said the Democrats are turning from the faith in multitude numbers. The Democrats, those part of the Democrat apparatus, are turning from the faith of Christianity in multitude numbers. A big article in you go find it yourself. You'll find it on Google. You'll see how they are turning, because the Democrat Party is becoming the Antichrist Party. And that's happening at neck break speed. But don't get confident in your Republican status, because the same things are developing behind the scenes. It's just everywhere. It's a world turning from the Bible and turning from the Christ and turning from morality. And now it's a sin. If you dare say homosexuality is a sin, it's a sin for you to say it. And they say the time will come when they'll yank us off of every social media there is when we say things like that. Well, I'm sitting here having to tell you that the late hour is upon us, but my Father is going to come down. I want you to start singing with me, would you? Would you do that? Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. Will you sing it with me? Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. We need the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain, Lord. We need the latter rain. We need a demonstration of God's mighty power. And it's coming. Oh, it's coming. I wish I could say it'll be tomorrow or Sunday or next week. I can't say that, although I expect it. Any moment I know it's going to break. I preached last week down in Georgia in a tent. And man, did God anoint me to preach. Wow, I loved it. I preached one night on the mystery of the marvelous Christ, the awesome Christ. Oh, I love preaching about him. You know, Jesus is not just the one who throughout the Bible is the Word. He is the Word. He's the living one. But he's soon going to be the bridegroom. And he's going to have a bride. And his bride is the blessed saints of God of all the ages up to right now that have lived only for Christ. How can I be part of the bride? Live only for Christ. That's all. Live only for Christ. Get the world out of your life. Get the world out of your heart. Quit living for the world and start living for the Christ. And if you live for the Christ, you're going to be part of the bridegroom. You hearing me? Oh, if you just knew some things about that bridegroom, I can't talk about them today. Hey, the phone's open. I want some calls, okay? I want some telephone calls. I don't know. Maybe I had some. I didn't. I thought I had that up, but I didn't. I had to turn it off earlier because they were interrupting me when I was trying to figure out my problem, and I had to keep my mind on my problem. Hey, call me quickly. If you have a question about all of this, do you see the world in upheaval? Do you see it coming apart? And do you then know that the Father is waiting to move? The Father is waiting for just the right moment to move. And he really is depending on you and I in prayer and intercession. Great prayer warriors, fasting and praying, pouring ourselves out to God hours a day, hours a day. One day this week, the Lord helped me spend 4 hours in front of him, before him. And it was just overwhelming. Overwhelming. Listen, when you fast and pray, you'll get results. Brother Chambers, you're not supposed to tell anybody you fast and pray. I do it only because I'm trying to encourage you to get involved with me. I don't want no credit. My gracious, I want the kingdom. All I want is the kingdom. I want the master to show up. I want God to come down. I want to see a mighty move of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said it in Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and on my handmaidens will I pour out of my spirit. Oh, he goes on to talk about this great revival that's coming. And he said this revival would come unto and before the great and notable day of Christ coming. Well, we know Christ coming, that note when he actually comes to the earth is at the end of the 7-year tribulation. He comes in the clouds to rapture the church before the 7-year tribulation. But he comes after the 7-year tribulation to set up his kingdom. And you know, there's not going to be no USSR during the 1,000 years. There's not going to be no Iran during the 1,000 years. There's not going to be a Pakistan during the 1,000 years. There's not going to be an America during the 1,000 years. Or a France, or a Germany, or the British, or whoever. It's going to be the kingdom of Christ on this whole earth. He'll be the one king and one Lord, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he will rule this universe. I got to get back to Matthew 24. I want you to read more of this. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated for my name's sake. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be Then shall many be offended. Then shall many be offended and betray one another, and shall hate one another. If you knew how much betrayal and hatred is in the church world, how much betrayal and hatred is in the church world. I was talking to someone last night, and I said the sad thing about our world right now is the same thing that's in the world is in the church. The same thing that's going on among the worldly people is going on among the church people. It's a sad hour. It's a sad hour. Many shall and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. There are so many crazy doctrines out there. It's unthinkable the many different doctrines that are now beguiling good people everywhere, beguiling them. Who knows the truth? Well, the Bible is the truth, and you can know the truth. Just live in your Bible. Quit following any man. Don't follow me. Follow the Bible. Don't follow the people I know. Follow the Scripture. Get in the Bible and stay there. Now, I want to spend these last 12, 13 minutes on the phones. I got the phone up. And you can call. I'm going to put the number in front of you so that there's no excuse, okay? Here's the number, the top one, 704-391-0588. Let's talk about what I've said today. I've told you the world is in an upheaval, a mess. I mean, the pandemic has just tore everything about us and around us apart. I mean, all of us feel just overwhelmed. There are people so afraid they still won't come to church. I'm going to tell you, if you trust Christ, you don't need to be afraid. And we're going to follow all the noted things about separation here. And we're going to help you, and we're going to make it clean and pure for you. There'll be a place to sanitize your hands as you come in the door. The doors will be open. The sanctuary will have been sanitized. It'll be very clean. It'll be a separation. Every other pew. I mean, we're doing everything we know to make you comfortable to come to the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, you need to come because you need the spiritual life. You need the spiritual life. You need to get yourself right with God like you've never been before. You are desperate to get yourself right with God, folks. You're desperate to get yourself right with God. It's a dark hour. I'm trying to get this thing off there. Listen, call me quickly. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I want to talk to you. I want to hear some of you ask me what's on your mind, on your heart. What's disturbing you the most? What is it that's happening that I can help you understand? Okay, grab your phone. I'm going to wait on you for a few moments. It's going to be up to you now. We can make this last little time just absolutely enjoyable. And that's really what I want to do. I want to make it enjoyable. I want you to be able to learn. I want you to get your heart so on fire for God that nothing will turn your head. Hey, it's a world of upheaval and destruction, but God is waiting to move it. God is waiting to move. Do you understand that? God needs you praying. God needs you crying out to Him like you've never cried out to Him in your life. God needs you crying out to Him. God needs you seeking His face. I've told you what Isaiah said, "Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heaven." Oh, I told you what Jeremiah said. I mean, the Bible is rich, and you own the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir. I want to tell you what's on my heart and what's on my mind.
All right. Tell me.
There is very few teachers and preachers. There's a difference in a preacher and a teacher. Anybody can be a preacher. You know, you see them every day. But a preacher should be able to teach. And you are indeed a good teacher of the Bible. Hey. Churches need discipline. People join the church, they whore hop, they stay together, and the church permits it, and the church is accessory before and after the fact. You see all kinds of stuff going on in the church. I don't like it, and I belong to a little church that they do not put up with it. But we are looked upon as a cult, somebody that's weird, you know, and all this stuff is not supposed to go on in church.
Well, you are...
The people in the world are supposed to see something different than us that they will want.
Well, there was a day in the church when the church was so pure. I was saved in 1952. That's 68 years ago. And when I was saved, the church was such a... I thought it was a bunch of angels. I couldn't believe my eyes when I found Christ and was wonderfully saved. And I said, where do these people come from? These people are saintly. And they were. And then I watched through the 68 years as the world slowly compromised and slowly compromised. And now you can't tell any difference in worldly people and churchy people. I mean, they live the same way. They do the same thing. They dress the same way. They go to the same places. I mean, I get amazed at what I see in the name of religion. But it isn't real. And listen, do you hear me? God is fixing to move again. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
You believe there's going to be a sovereign move?
Well, I can't half hear you. I'm a little, got a little age on me.
Well, do you believe there's going to be a sovereign move of God?
Yeah.
Okay, then you start praying, and don't let what's going on so consume you that you don't get on your face and start praying for God to turn it around. For people are just deluded. They've been taken captive by Satan at his will, the Bible said. And so many of the people who are out there living like that, they don't realize. They've been told you're saved regardless of what you do. You don't have to live a holy life to be saved. You're saved by grace through faith, and that has nothing to do with the way you live, which is a lie. You know, if you get saved, you're saved. And when he saves you, he cleans you up and makes a new creature out of you. But the world isn't hearing that. And I'm preaching it, but they don't listen to me much. Some do and some don't. There's a good group of people all over the world, but they are spread about, you know, just a few here and a few there. And so just keep believing the truth and living the truth, sir. God bless your heart.
And I appreciate your program. Hey, keep preaching the gospel.
That's all I'm going to preach, brother. I'm going to do it till my toes are turned up. Thank you for calling. Thank you for calling. May I say to all of you out there, it's time to live right. Hey, and it's time to help people like me preaching the truth. Sometimes we have to scurry up every dollar we get sometimes. But God takes care of us, and he always comes through with a miracle. I mean, he always comes through with a miracle. We just spent $15,000 on air conditions, plus five. I had to spend five at my house this week to get my air condition straightened out. It was 30 years old, and it was going out. I'm telling you, 30-year-old air condition. Can you believe it kept going out long? I think it was carried a lot of times by prayer. I didn't have the money. Well, God always meets the need. He comes through. And so if you're not being part of the small group, the Bible says narrow is the way and straight is the path, and few there be that find it. Did you know the Bible said that? Straight is the way and narrow the path. I'm not quoting that exactly right, but I got the truth there. Straight is the way and narrow is the path, and few there be that find it. Do you know the Bible said that? Few there be? Are you one of the few? Are you one of the crowd that's going to live right come hell or high water? You're going to live right. I don't care what the devil does or says. I don't care what comes against me. I promise you this man's going to live right, and I'm going to keep doing the Lord's will. Would you call 704-391-0588? I'll take your call. You heard this man. I don't know him, but he sounded like he meant business. He sounded like he was genuine. And God's got people out there. Do you not remember when Elijah got discouraged and ran for cover and hid in a place in the desert-like place? And God spoke and said, "Oh, Isaiah, you're not the only one. I've reserved so many people of Israel that haven't blasphemed my name." And I'm telling you, God's got folks all over this world that still love him. Some of them listen to me regular. They get all upset that they don't get me. I messed up the program for 2 weeks with the code, put it at the wrong place, got it straight yesterday. So if you missed last week's program or the week before program on the internet, you can go get it now because got it straight. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did that. But, you know, I'm human just like you are. And sometimes these old internets, I mean, it's a lot of stuff involved in what I do. A lot of internet technicalities. And God helps me find my way through it. Sometimes I have to stop and pray. Lord, you're going to have to show me that one. I don't know. Hey, call me quickly. 704-391-0588. Hey, I want you to be in church with me tomorrow. I want you at Paul Creek tomorrow. If you don't have a church home that's on fire and full of the Holy Ghost, you need one. And you shouldn't be waiting. You should find a church and get in the middle and get on fire. And don't use an excuse, "I can't go to church. We're doing all the distancing stuff in here." And so you can come to church at Paul Creek tomorrow and be saved. And I hope you won't use some excuse and stay home. Now, camp meeting begins a week from Monday, this coming Monday. A week. And our night speaker is Timothy Baggett, just outstanding. Our day teacher is Brother Jeff Mayo, outstanding. And then on Tuesday night, Brother Garfield Chambers down in Georgia is preaching on Tuesday night. Can't wait to see him again and all of his family. And then on Wednesday night, Brother James Croak from down in the Bladenburg area, with the Emmanuel Holiness Church. And then on Thursday is Vance Tutston from down in southern South Carolina. Where is he at? I can't say it. Down south of Greenville. Anniston. There he is. I think that's right. Anniston, South Carolina. And then on Friday. Hey, on Friday, my dear brother, Bill Preston. Preston is not right. It's Prestis. Bill Prestis from up in Martinsville, Virginia. Hey, he is a wonderful Bible preacher, teacher. Oh, I can't wait to hear him. I put a sermon on by him Tuesday night on fasting and praying. You ought to go hear it. And then the one by Wade Horton 2 weeks earlier. You ought to go hear it. 3 weeks earlier, one by Ray Hughes. You can go hear all of them. Help get you ready for camp meeting because we're looking for a sovereign move. I'm looking for the rain to come down. Are you singing with me now? We're going to sing again. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. I want to get everybody out there praying that with me, would you? Would everybody out there begin to pray that and sing that? Send down the rain, Lord. And you say, I don't know nothing about the rain. Well, read James 5 and 7. This, you know, it said very plainly, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman, the father, waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it. Look at how long he's had patience for this latter rain. Oh, and then it says, he's had patience with it until he received, till he received the early and latter rain. He said it. James said it about the Lord. The Lord is waiting for the latter rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. Send down the latter rain. We need the rain, Lord. We need the rain. We need the latter rain. I hope you get that in your mind and can't quit singing it. Sing it in your church tomorrow, would you? Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. We need the latter rain. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the rain. We need the latter rain. We really need it. When I say latter rain, we're talking about a moving of the Holy Ghost, a sovereign visitation. You're talking about the Shekinah glory filling our churches up until the preacher cannot stand to preach. And the glory will cover the church like a blanket. And men of sin will fall on their faces in repentance. And even religious people will become convicted of carelessness and their prayerlessness. And there'll be a move of God like we need, like we must have. And I'm praying that you get a hold of this and it gets a hold of you and you become a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. I want you to be a part of it. I really do. God bless you. It's been a joy to bring you this program. I hope your life is stirred. I want you
stirred. Turn back for some tomorrow. My trials here, I understand. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about the mansion I'm going to receive as my reward. I want to know more about that homeland. I mean to go there someday somehow. And after I reach that heavenly city, I mean to know more than I know now. I'm glad I know the blessed Savior, for through His blood He set me free. The rough the road, I shall not waver. For some glad day, His face I'll see. I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord. I want to know more about the mansion I'm going to receive as my reward.